Thoughts at Frank O'Hara's City Poet Party, 6993. Hal Fondren was there, and Bobby Fizdale, John Gruen and Jane Wilson, that is, Morris Goldie, and a number of others who were already highly visible on the scene when I appeared in the background as a young poet 30 years ago this spring. "How are you?" is the question I kept hearing from the members of this senior contingent as I milled about in the clinical orchards of sociability. "How am I? Feeling old," I wanted to say, as a birthday approached from the end of the week. But these people had 10 to 15 years on me then, and of course, as is the mathematical way, still did. But on the other hand, there were these clumps of stylish young men who obviously weren't even born when Frank died. Which was more depressing? It's a push, as a bookie would say, from his bit part in Guys and Dolls. And Frank's sister Maureen was there, of course. I don't remember if I ever told her that my first serious girlfriend in the third grade was an Irish girl named Maureen, but I guess I'm telling her now after a fashion. And this way, everybody else gets to listen in and be bored too. And I guess I could have told Brad Gooch that in World War II, all destroyers were called tin cans, not just the type Frank served on. And the battleship Missouri was called the Mighty Mo, not the Old Mo. But I suppose I'm telling him now, etc. It's the first unpleasantly humid day in June. That's partly why I feel neglected and out of it, no longer involved with the art and poetry world that still buzzes with participants in Philip Taft's huge and strangely elegant space. On the terrace, I notice the motif of pairs of human-headed winged bulls that face each other in banded strips on the office building next door. The Assyrian building, I think, an opportunity for Julius Nipple, real estate photographer, although he's as fictional as I feel too uncomfortably real. I wonder what kind of business is transacted there, I continue on to myself, since I don't feel like talking to anyone else. "Listen," Frank cuts in, "what's all this Assyrian baloney? Winged bulls? Winged bull you know what? And how can anybody possibly feel too real? Why don't you trim the fat off your no-moss mind and try to be at least as entertaining as you used to think you were?" God knows I certainly wouldn't miss that kind of opportunity. "That's not fair," I answer. "You're just showing up right now would be entertainment enough for these people. You wouldn't have to say a word." Well, I could take their minds off that pretty quick by showing an interest in their existence. The best way to keep from feeling sorry for yourself is to get interested in someone else. You know that. I certainly still know that. In fact, it's exactly what I'm doing right now. "Yes, of course, you're right, but I just don't seem to be in the mood." "Don't be truculent. You're not young enough anymore. In fact, you're 13 years older than I am now, so act it. There's John Ashbery. Go over and say hello." It's 30 years later, and I'm still getting you invited to parties. But this is the last time. You're on your own for the rest of this saga, baby. As Siegfried said to Brunhilde on the way up to Valhalla, I'm going to get a drink.